I see you've changed your name to Dr. Jake. I see that in the corner there. And I want to know what's going on there. Good morning, Dr. Jake. How are you today?
Hey, how's it going, V Michael? I don't remember when I changed that or for what reason. I think that was probably for a Los Angeles Tribune event, largely because the reality is nobody can pronounce my last name and it scares them anyway. So it's totally good. I just happened to change it to that. The full name's in the intro. It's in the bio. It's everywhere you want to read it. You know who I am by this point as a loyal listener of the show. Probably don't even need my name down there. But yeah, I'm glad you noticed it because I had forgotten I had changed it.
Yeah, I was feeling like something was missing from our episode here of Total Disruption today. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Clendenning and I are coming off of a hot weekend. We both were on the LA Tribune Leadership Week just this past week. I don't know when this episode that you're listening to is airing, but check us out there. And we also did a webinar, man. We had a very successful webinar on our app, and everything went really well, I thought, with that. What did you think?
Oh, totally. And it's easy to say it went really, really well because it's something we're super passionate about. This has been something we've been building for a long time. So of course we're going to say it went really well because we're able to deliver the message we believe is, and I can, say that we believe, we know, whatever it's going to be, that we believe is absolutely the critical gap in communication right now. And so the development of the app and being able to actually speak about it on stages, like I said, we did it in for Tribune. It was on a couple other summits. We've done a few podcasts in the few, last few weeks. This is the subject. This is the subject matter that we're speaking on because we believe it's the critical gap in business right now.
I think it's a critical gap everywhere. And speaking of critical gaps, I've been noticing something, and I wanted to know if you noticed this too. You've been dealing with a lot on both ends of it, on the, hey, providing a stage for people to speak on and being a person speaking on stages. There just seems to be a ton of miscommunication going on or a ton of distraction going on. And I want to bring up today a little bit about the, hey, maybe there's not a communication issue. Maybe there's a distraction issue. We have a mutual friend that was in a facilitating position this past week, and she kept running into these. I was kind of coaching her on and off. We kept running into these situations where people were not reading their information provided. And then when it came time for them to have to plug in, there was a big miscommunication on where their stuff was, how to get into something. There was kind of like this weird, hey, wait, I'm going to pay attention now that it's 8 minutes out. And then all of a sudden it's somebody else's problem. I mean, you could speak to that, can't you?
Yeah, and it's so there. I don't want to defend the folks that were not prepared to go speak at this. You and I both spoke at this. There were over 250 speakers over 10 days with the Tribune. It was an epic thing to try and produce.
300.
It ended up at 300. I knew it. Yeah, so it was, yeah, it's right. I was over 250. But yeah, it was 300 speakers. It's a ton of people to wrangle. But if you figure even. We know the answer is it's 20% of those people weren't prepared. Even 10%, if you're the producer and you're getting 30 phone calls 8 minutes before, hey, where's my link? Where's my thing? Of these people that weren't prepared, it's absolutely exhausting. Absolutely exhausting as a producer. So you're right. It's distraction and it's not prioritizing it, right? If you're there's there was no reason at all that these particular speakers did not have the information in front of them that they needed because they didn't.
Well,
I got it. You got it. We all had it. They made a decision to wait to the last possible second, to the 11th hour, which means they didn't prioritize it. They decided, and this is the thing I talk about all the time, they weren't practicing for what they were going to do. They didn't,
no.
they weren't prepared. They didn't show up. I mean, think about that. If your boys skipped 5 days of practice, would you let them go play a game? Would the coach let them? No, they'd be riding the pine, man. They'd be sitting on the bench. This particular friend of ours who produced this entire thing was cool enough to let them play. I don't know that I'd have been that cool. I might have just said, hey, you didn't prepare for it. You didn't send out your emails. You didn't reach out to your database. You didn't do the things. Sucks to you. I probably would have gone that way simply from the regard of the unfortunate part is now she did it. She rewarded the behavior. And we keep doing it, right? We reward the behavior. If somebody isn't prepared, we say, yeah, it's okay. And they just keep doing it. And they keep doing it. We find out they're the energy suckers.
Well, in all fairness, I want to be clear. The people were prepared to speak. It was the mechanics of getting in and on and a couple of the peripheral things out there. I don't want anybody to mix messages. But yeah, you're right. It's a prioritization. And I think when, like, you know, you and I developed the CRG method app, you know, when we did that and not everything, the interface is not going to apply to everybody. There's a learning curve to everything. I mean, hell, there's a million apps out there now, and there's a million things to do out there. Not every interface is going to speak to how you learn. So the question I bring up to people is, okay, if the problem's not always everything else, sometimes you have to just realize you're not going to, the world is not going to be customized to you. It's just not. You've got to take your hat off a little bit and say, wait a minute here, let me put another hat on and let me go through this process and adapt. And I will get the information I need if I just put my mind to it. And again, you hit on it. Sometimes communication can be handled through prioritization. And if you're finding yourself in a position, if you're an audience member out there and you're finding yourself into a position where either you're not being heard or you're not communicating properly to everybody, chances are you're not prioritizing either a behavior you need to, right? Or you're just running into a hell of a lot of people that aren't prioritizing communicating to you, which chances are you've got to take ownership. You have to take that ownership. You have to take ownership in what you're trying to accomplish and then create a weak point training process for yourself. Wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they built a very cool system that had all the speaker assets. You know, this is an example for you guys. We're not just saying this one instance, but they built a very cool, you know, platform that had all the speaker assets, the posts, it had the link separated. Once you logged in, you were good as long as you logged in ahead of time. Sure, some people can blame their assistant. They could do some different things that way. Okay. You and I have run summits, you know, multiple times before. We'll send out the emails. We'll do the upfront webinars. We'll even do the speaker meet and greet ahead of time and say, anybody not have the link? And everybody says, yeah, I got the link. And you're still going to get that phone call day of, I can't find my link. And now it becomes my problem. So again, and this is me being a little harsh on this. I think if we quit rewarding the behavior, I think as producers, and I think as parents, I think as business leaders, business owners, I coach on this being the fixer all the time. And so we're talking fixers and coping mechanisms. I'm making a bit of a jump here. So if Mike comes to me 5 minutes beforehand and says, hey man, I didn't look at the slides. I've been super busy and I don't have my stuff together and I need the link. What should I say? I should say, well, let's reschedule you for next
time. Yeah, you should say that. And you should definitely.
I'm going to reward the behavior and I'm going to say, but you know, it's totally cool. We're going to wing it. Here's the thing. What did I just give Mike? I didn't give him the opportunity to grow in this space. All I did was let his coping mechanism result. My kids used to do this all the time, right? I would do my one daughter's math for her because she would come to me and say, I'm having troubles with her math. Versus me giving her the opportunity to own it. And guess what kept happening? I got to do her math all the way through high school for the most part because I didn't let her own it. It's the same thing. It's the same thing, guys. We're just behaving that way. Yeah. She's doing awesome. Don't get me wrong, but it was, and she knows it. If she's listening to it, she knows damn good and well, that's what occurred. But you know, I rewarded the behavior. I'm not saying it's bad behavior. I am simply saying it's behavior. If we keep doing it, You know, so basically what we did, or we can say what our friend did, in rewarding the behavior of somebody that was not prepared, the next producer is going to have to deal with that again, because it's going to keep happening. They're going to go, oh, I'll just, you know, so it's just kicking the can down the road. Somebody has to say no. And I've done it, right? I have had guests on the show that have showed up last minute, weren't prepared, didn't have their audio together, didn't have their video together, things weren't going to work. And I've said, we're going to reschedule this. We're not going to wing this. And some of them didn't reschedule, which, fine. If you want to self-delete and not be a guest on the show because you didn't get it together, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that too. And I'm okay with not hearing from somebody. It's totally fine. And I actually enjoy, and it's refreshing when somebody is actually polarizing for me and they say, yeah, nah, I'm good. You know, I'll move on. I love it. And I don't mind when these problems come up, and I don't mind going through some of these experiences myself, because I don't remember who told me. This is a segue. I don't remember who told me, but like, when you have to go through hard things, that's what really successful people do. And if it's hard for you to get links together, your bio together, your paperwork together and everything else, either you're in the wrong situation or you just kind of push yourself until it's not hard, right? There's 2 degrees of difficulty. There's a degree of difficulty where you fail to start and you fail to kind of just get your shit together and organize. And then there's the other degree of difficulty where it's like, wow, the learning curve here is massive, right? Like let's say if I wanted to start going out and I was new to this whole gig and I wanted to be a professional speaker. Okay, the prerequisites to a professional speaker outside of having something to talk about are, you should probably have a little Google Drive with all your stuff, your headshot, 3 different bios, a couple of different things, your resume that you could send to people that you're applying to, right? Now, if that same person wanted to start learning trigonometry at age 45 and you haven't had math in 15 years, well, guess what? Learning trigonometry is a little more difficult than getting your shit together for a speaker sheet. One is totally different than the other. However, if your enthusiasm to learn trigonometry is really there, well, that then you're going to push yourself and go, wow, I'm really excited about this. If your enthusiasm to speak's not there, right, as easy as it is to organize, you're not going to do it, right? So it's relative. The hard thing becomes relative to what you're enthusiastic about. And if you're really enthusiastic to get on summits and learn information, get on those platforms and figure it out early, right?
Yeah, 100%. And here's the shameless self-promotion on this. So go get the app, go to total-disruption.com and go get the app. We're still rocking promotional pricing, so you can totally get that. Just click on the link and it'll give you the promo pricing, which is amazing because it's lifetime promotional pricing right now if you sign up for it. It is the tool that it is, I don't know, you can use all the buzzwords, right? We can call it a transformational tool. We can call it a coaching app. The reality is it's a conversation primer. This is a training device in order to know what to say, when to say it, how to communicate using the 3 paths. It's not about learning scripts. This is about learning how to build connection. That's what this one is. It's not learning how to get a win-win out of a conversation. This is learning how to get in agreement. This is how to get in alignment, because that builds long-term business, not just a one and done, not just a firework kind of thing. So go get the app. Awesome promotional pricing. New updates are always coming out on it. It's a very cool tool that we've built. It is our version of a transformational coaching app that we absolutely love, and we know that it makes a huge difference. We've coached on this for years at this point, 2 years we've coached on this, but you get to say years. This is what the models we coach on. And this is an in your pocket, on your phone, on your desktop, at will. Hey, I need to have this quick conversation. How would I start it? And you're able to work through that problem, or you can practice a sales conversation ahead of time. So there's your shameless self-promotion, total-disruption.com. The other one would be, if you like the show, go leave us a review. Go on Apple, leave an actual review. Ratings are cool, but do us a favor, leave a review if you're a fan of the show.
Well said. And how you want to be seen in this world, right? Position yourself as a leader, position yourself as a person of authority, creating your influence. It takes practice and it takes a purpose. And using the app that we've created will begin to help you down that journey. It's an instant tool to begin to allow you to feel confident about investing in yourself and investing in the right things to do to start your journey down that leadership path, that transformational path. And it's a amazing, staggering amount of things that people will put in front of themselves, obstacles and different excuses on why they're not where they want to be. And a lot of it is positioning and authority. And you and I have really simplified that process when it talks about the path. We talk about the paths of communication and we talk about these different colors. We couldn't have simplified the process any more. There is a guy on YouTube, the School of Hard Knocks. This dude basically has a gag where he rolls up with a microphone and says, "Hey, how'd you get rich?" and all that. I encourage people to, I don't want to pull you away from our ecosystem and dump into his, but there's a methodology that everybody he interviews says the same thing. You need to learn a language of sales and you need to be able to communicate. And if you're not learning a sales language and a communication language, you're really holding yourself back in the areas of leadership. Everything is sales, everything is communication, intra-family communication, external communication, peer-to-coworker communication, you to service provider communication. Everything is and always will be how you interact with the world and how you communicate. And that's your positioning. And we've done a great job of just putting this thing together and allowing it to be at your fingertips on the ready whenever you want it to be, as long as you have a digital device. And then obviously, if you don't have a digital device, well, there's PDFs and downloads and printouts you can do as well. So we've covered all bases for you. And there's the end of the shameless promotion. Now let's get back to prioritizing. Why do you think people shoot themselves in the foot? Why do you think they don't prioritize certain components? They want to self-sabotage? What do you think?
Yeah, that's the short answer, right? There's a couple different quotes I've heard, whether they're quotes or not. One of them is, "I don't know what I don't know," right? I don't know what I don't know. And that's all well and good. A lot of people don't understand, they've never been successful, so they don't know what it looks like. And therefore, just simply by neuroscience, they're afraid of the unknown. That is what causes self-sabotage, right? They don't know if I, that's why they're afraid of public speaking. It's not a what if I fail, it's what if it works? What if I fly? They have no idea what it looks like or feels like on the other side of what it works. What they're familiar with is when it doesn't, right? The breaking part of that. So they self-sabotage to stay in comfort. One of my most hated words, I cannot stand that word because we cannot grow in comfort. It's not possible. You can't. You cannot get better. If you want to run faster, you don't just one day run faster. You have to train to go run faster, and it's going to hurt. It is going to be is uncomfortable. There's going to be discomfort. Same as growth in business. You want to get bigger, there's going to be growing pains. There's going to be discomfort. And if we just want to stay the same, that's why people shoot themselves in the foot and they stay right there at that level, right? This is they've hit the imaginary glass ceiling. They've hit that threshold of growth. It's not self-sabotage, it's that they don't know what it looks like on the other side. They've not unpacked it of what the real intention is, what the real goal is of what I need to be. This is what I want. Right. This is where I want to go. This is what I believe it looks like. And nothing's going to stop me from getting there. That just opens the door in the fake glass ceiling, plain and simple. You've got to get there. But that's the reason people do it, is they just don't know what it looks like on the other side. So they have no idea how to succeed, but they're good at crashing and burning. They're used to that.
Yes, and unfortunately, too many people get too comfortable there. I have been really hard on myself lately on purpose, and I don't know, man. Maybe you have about a 30-second to a minute window. The second you start a task to go, oop, am I doing something that's productive here, or am I doing something that's just totally bullshit? And you could justify, as long as you're alive and making decisions, everything's productive and everything, you know, it's all subjective. Like, you could create this ethereal level of like, whoa, you know, nothing's real and everything's surreal. Time out. If you have goals and you have accomplishments and you're somebody who has and wants momentum, that you feel your life is moving forward at any age relative to any goals, if you're doing things and then you're doing other things after you're done doing things and you're like, whoa, wait a minute here. Am I doom scrolling for a reason? Am I really out here doing yard work because I need to be? Am I planting flowers because this is something that's relative to what I'm trying to do? The answer is yes, awesome. The answer is no. You know, again, we prioritize that, but you got about a 30-second window to self-check. Because I don't know about you, man. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been where you are all of a sudden habitually down a path and you kind of look around and it's been 10, 15 minutes and you're still doing the same thing? And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. What? 30 minutes goes by and it's like, whoa, wait a minute. I got all this other stuff to do. Right. I find yard work for me is like that. I know it's essential because as much as I outsource the non-essential, I've been the victim of over outsourcing, especially where my yard work comes in. And I am not getting the results out of my yard that I want to see. So I've brought in a friend of mine who I've talked about, my friend Phil with Go Green. And he's kind of slapped me around a little bit and really brought up my educational level as to, wow, I'm maybe deep diving a little too much in the yard work, but it's now a priority, but it's not a deep dive. But still, I mean, I'm sure you've been to where I'm at, right? Or am I just kind of alone in this thing?
No, I think everybody's been in that space of, you know, you get into doing a project, you're like, why am I even doing this? This is just not. And for me, it happens all the time with technology, right? I'll go, and we call it going down the rabbit hole. And that's an old Alice in Wonderland reference for those that wonder if you're not old enough for that one. But you're going down the rabbit hole, and I do it on, I've done it on a couple different projects, right? I've been working on developing a couple things and spent hours building out the entire model all the way from start to finish to the end, to find out when I got to the end that it was like, this isn't even going to be something that we use. This isn't going to be something that we've done. I've got like three or four in the locker currently that probably I spent the better part of a couple days building out that were so far off of what we do. Versus, you know, okay, I'm going to roll the first iteration out of the basic outline. We'll have the conversation. Is this something I even need to do? No, I marched all the way down the path because I wanted to finish the model and have this, you know, this shock and awe moment of what it was. And so, yeah, I've totally done it. And that's where I do it, is when I'll go in and build a business model or, you know, something new concept for something, and I'll go all in on it. Versus checking it in the beginning. It's a great concept to go back and say, all right, is this productive? Now I want to leave it with this one. I read a great article earlier about why we don't rest. When rest is needed, rest is a thing we've got to do. We tend to not rest because we don't feel we're being productive. So it's like, oh, I got to get up and I got to move and I got to do these things. And yet it's rest is productive in the same way. There's some whole philosophy around gin as well. Not gin the drink, but gin's a, yeah.
No, what's the philosophy?
Yeah, let's go down that road. And there's a philosophy around doing nothing. It's also a military philosophy. The choice is still a choice. To do nothing is still a decision. You made that choice to do nothing. And in that moment, nothing may be the most productive thing that you can do. So just be aware, like be aware of your decisions and be an active participant in them. Am I choosing to do this thing? What's the reason? I'm going to go ahead and do this thing. And at that point, you can't say it was the wrong choice. You made a decision to do the thing. So, and give yourself permission to do that.
Well, I agree. I mean, it's a choice. And, you know, to sort of wrap it back into the beginning, it's a choice for you to do anything. It's a choice for you to listen to this program. It's a choice for you to leave us a review. It's a choice for you to be prepared next time you're speaking or doing something. And let's hope you make the right choices, right? And the right choices are all relative to your goals, in my opinion. And if you're going to be a leader or you're going to change your positioning in life, you've got to make the choices. And a lot of them are hard because it's not always what we want to do. There is no easy button. The only easy button is, you know what? There is no easy button. Anyway,
Sure
sorry.
is. Like and subscribe.
Yeah, life is easy. All right, Dr. Jake, we are out of time. So for my esteemed colleague, Dr. Jake Clendenning, I'm Mike Liversi. You were just live on Total Disruption. We'll see you next time.